All right, everybody, this is AJ Torsa, Colin Strikes, courtesy of the Worst Take Network. And for this time around, we got the boss. We got Friar Matty Kays. What's happening, brother?
How you doing, AJ?
Doing great. What's happening?
Nothing much. Unfortunately, we had to deal with a Mike Clevenger, Tommy John, and sign type situation. So that was a bummer. But outside of that, I mean, things are pretty positive right now for the Padres. Obviously, today we're going to kind of recap their season and talk about like what their future kind of looks like, and especially what 2021 looks like. But I'm not in like, I'm kind of in like a middle ground of spirits, I guess, right now. Not too happy, not too sad. Like, there's a lot of positivities, but then the Mike Clevenger injury kind of is like, okay, well, now we have a big hole that we have to find a guy to fill. And if you want,
it's as big as you think,
huh?
I don't think it's as big as you think.
So the part I'm worried about, I want them to let Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino pitch, but I don't know if they're going to have them start or Morahone even start. But I think that it seems like right now it's going to be Lamette, and like they're going to have Paddock in there, they're going to have Davies, but I don't know who it is besides those three guys. I really want them to go after Bauer. I already wanted them to do that. I think dream scenario. So the people I want them to keep are Jerickson Profar, and then
resign. Okay.
Yeah, and then resign Kirby, unless it, like, someone offers him like a ton of money.
I agree.
And then another bullpen arm, either one of our guys or someone new. Maybe Trevor Rosenthal, like resign him. Or I saw someone float the idea of going after Brad Hand, bringing him back to San Diego. I like that idea too. But I would say like keeping those guys, resigning Jerickson Profar, and trying to get Trevor Bauer to sign a 2-year deal. I think that's dream scenario right now for the offseason.
Okay, so I'm going to make a couple of points here. Now, you know me, I have, even though I'm a Yankee fan, I've went through this, and I do think that the pitching is a positive. But as far as the pitching goes, now I'm actually happy that the catching situation is fixed. You don't know what we're getting out of Francisco Mejia yet. But as far as the infield is concerned, it is Machado, Tatis, it's definitely Cronenworth, and it's his job to lose at second base. And we have Haas at first. There are a couple of backup guys there, but that's essentially the middle infield, right?
Yeah. Cronenworth seems like Cronenworth is going to be the go-to guy at second moving forward. He at least has that spot for the beginning of next season, I'd say. But
I, as I said, I think it's his job to lose. Now,
yeah,
the outfield,
definitely.
It's looking like now Profar is going to be the X factor. Currently, he's a free agent, but I think he gets signed on a 1-year, $5 million, just because if you look at the inconsistency going on, I mean, they're floating him all over the place. I think this goes to management, but I'll get that in a moment. So left to right, we're looking at Tommy Pham. He got reeled by injuries, and I think he's going to get another shot. We
also
got Grish, who won the Gold Glove, and then we got Myers.
Yeah,
that
did you see
about
that?
Right?
Yeah, but did you see recently Tommy Pham was stabbed? He was stabbed in the back outside of a strip club.
I did see that.
Crazy.
Yes, I did see that. But if you look at the other sports going on, right, and we're talking about, the Dunbar and all that case, right, what happens if there's a headline and it says 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and it's a bar, nothing good. That's what.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one right there.
So going to the bullpen, right? Now, I think in 162 games, this is where I'm going to really be hard on Jace Tingler, because if you look at 162 games, if you're telling me that Luis Patino, who's supposed to be one of your top prospects, if he's not going to get a couple of starts just to show what he is worth, you basically need to trade him to get something valuable, which would be for a starter, or you give him a solid role in the bullpen, because I'm tired of this thing, right? And they got away with it last year because of the amount of games, but your starter can't go 2 to 3 innings. Your bullpen is good, but when you got guys that are up and down and you have to use everybody in that bullpen to get you through the rest of the game, it's dumb. It's absolutely dumb.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I remember at the beginning of the year, me and you were talking about that a lot. And we're like, why are these guys getting pulled so early? I think a lot of it did have to do with the shortened season. Just like you can pitch these guys a little bit more. But I mean, I'm still not a fan of it. You know, like I still want to see my starter, like the starter out there, seven innings if he's cruising. Like let him stay in. There's so many times where a guy would come in.
He doesn't need to go seven, but I think it goes by pitch count, of course. Now, granted, he can have a game, but you know, small strike zone, he walks a couple of guys. But at least give me a number for pitch count. Like if the number's 90, he's got 86 and there's one batter, depend on the situation type game. Listen, I understand that. But when I hear this, oh, he was originally only supposed to go two innings and I gave him a third one. Why? And if you wonder why the bullpen was so gassed when it came by playoff time, it was decisions like that. Now, I'll just go by how I manage my bullpen. And I've seen this with multiple teams, okay? So let's say that you pull the starter after five innings, okay? Five innings. So a guy warms up and he starts the six, finishes the inning, comes back out, pitches to one batter, gets the out, goes to the bullpen. Why? Only facing one batter? This isn't the playoffs. Come on.
Yeah,
what
I don't,
are you doing?
I don't get that. I mean,
so
unless
what,
it's,
so
unless
what you
it's
do
a
is
left-handed
this is
specialist. Do you agree with that? Unless it's like a left-handed guy that comes in, it's like, okay, special
but
matchup.
But if he's a quote-unquote specialist, right?
Yeah.
Why is he finishing that whole inning and then coming back out? You're telling me that there's three right-handers and, what, four at-bats or so? Because, I mean, even these specialists, he would just finish the inning and he would sit down.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Even with right-handers, left-handers, I don't get it. And the thing is, too, I've seen so many times where it's just like, hey, the starter went five-plus innings. Okay, the guy finishes the inning, comes back, gets an R one or two. The guy finishes the inning, comes out again. The only thing that does, in my experience, is that taxes the arm. That's what it does. So what happens is give these guys clean innings. Let them finish it and let another guy start fresh.
Yeah, I get that.
Everyone's going to have to learn, man, because otherwise, I understand that somehow, some way, he was in a top three and manager of the year, which I did not think he deserved it, to be completely honest with you. But he's going to have a tighter leash coming into 2021, particularly with expectations that are just so much higher.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. I think that, I mean, I get the questions about it. I would say one thing. I'm not super down on Jace Tingler. And we talked about, like, do you remember when, who were they using? They were using someone, Cal Quantrill. And they were using him in such weird ways. And we were like,
yes, they had him start. They had him close. They had him go, but my thought is, right? And if you remember this, when Clevinger was hurt for like two or three starts, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, you know, that might be a good chance to, you know, do we have a long relief pitcher anymore? Oh, yeah, that's right, Cleveland. Oh, what the heck was going on? Because here's the deal, right? You're going to have a guy sit down for about a five-day span, right? And you're telling me he's not going to pitch in a bullpen, he's not going to close games. Like, they're trying to figure out what to do with him. Did they not like him? I don't know what was going on. And sure enough, come playoff time, he could have produced. And, well, he wasn't there. He was traded. He's in Cleveland. And apparently they love him over there.
I don't know if you saw this, but there was a thing that said, I think it was AJ Preller said, like, we acquired Mike Clevinger expecting to get a lot of postseason innings out of him. And so far it is a lock that he will pitch one single inning in his first two seasons in San Diego. Not ideal right there. Not an ideal start. But they do have him for an extra year after that. So, I mean, I think Mike's a really good player. It's just, it's unfortunate that he got hurt. Also, I mean, you know, I liked Cal a lot. I actually wasn't super against the way they used him because he was doing so well. Now, if he would have struggled, then it would have been like, okay, what are you guys doing? Like, he can't figure it out. But he was doing well, and they were just like, all right, this is our Iron Man. And they weren't over-pitching him either. They were just pitching him in such different situations
all the
time.
I just think they weren't using him to what he was for. Now, granted, this was a first-round draft pick. you drafted him as a starting pitcher. You weren't having him start games. You weren't having him in long relief. And you had him close, and it was for one batter. Then you played around with it a bit. I just couldn't fathom it. Like, the way that it goes, it's like, okay, we're having Patino pitch two innings because he's going to start it, but he's only got two or three innings in him. What happens after that? You got some of these middle relief pitchers that are blown in the fourth and fifth inning, but sure enough, you got a guy like Cal Quantrill. Oh, he's not available today, no given reason. That, to me, is nonsense.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what they're going to do a lot this year, because that was where my biggest questions were. With like, okay, how are they using these pitchers? And a lot of guys didn't seem to have a clear role. Now, I don't know. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell, like, okay, is it a good thing that they're using these guys in like obscure ways, or is it bad? And last year, for me, it was still so hard to tell. Now, we get into, say the Padres make the playoffs this year and they sign Trevor Bauer, right? And, or another good pitcher like that. So they have LeMet, another good pitcher, and a lot of young starters, like a big group of them. And then they go to the playoffs and they start using guys weird. And then the middle relief pitchers get blown up in the, you know, in the divisional series, and that's why they lose. That's, to me, when it becomes a big deal. Or when the bullpen is constantly blowing games. But last year, even in the playoffs, the bullpen was pretty good. It was unfortunate because the Padres had like two starters at that point. But is that part of it too? Is that part of like pitching your guys weird innings? Because that could be. I mean, pitching, like, just not pitching them like consistent amounts of time, you know? And so that's, I think, where the questions are this year. That's where the biggest questions are to me. How does Jace Tingler change into a 162 game year? Because if it's a lot different, then a lot of these questions will resolve themselves. But if it's the same issue that we had last year, and it's like, look at this, like Tingler, like there's still these guys are being used in a weird way and they're not producing to where we think they should. That's when I think you really put up the red flag.
Yes. I do believe that there were some guys inconsistent throughout the year. Craig Stammen, I know that he pissed off a lot of people. Ryan Weathers surprised a lot of people coming up, and he basically barely pitched any minor leagues and came up big. Drew Pomeranz, there's this one time where I said to myself, you know what, if they lose this game, Tingler's going to get killed. And I think that was because Pomeranz pitched in like the seventh inning. And then I forgot who closed out that game, but Pomeranz is going to have, he's going to be probably your eighth or ninth inning guy, depending on the Yates situation. But you have a lot of these setup men, like your seventh, eighth, ninth guys. They're going to have to figure a couple of things out. But as far as over a longevity, like if we go with Adrian Moron, we're going to have to figure what him and Patino can do, because if these guys cannot pitch five innings plus, you're going to have to put them in a long relieving role. And that's frustrating at times, because the way that I've always looked at it, right, is that I'm not a fan of relief pitchers pitching 3 days in a row. So I kind of go like this. It's like, if you pitch one inning, we see how you feel. So maybe you could pitch tomorrow. But if you pitch two innings, you're getting at least one day off, and then we'll see how you feel, you know, the third day. There's a science to this, and history says, and all of it lines up, that it just works. It's just how it all flows. So you have so many guys, starters that need to be stars, that need to be given the opportunity. Now, can you call up Mackenzie Gore? Yeah. The way that's going to happen, I think you're going to give as it looks right now, your fourth and fifth spots are probably going to be Morhan and Patino. We'll see how Paddock does, but we're not sure what's going on. Anything can happen in spring training. But I think once I think it's like 30 games into May, because what that is, and this is going to be part of the union discussion, because there's 6 years of team control, but it could be shortened to five if they start opening day. So if he's on the opening day roster, you lose that 6 year of team control.
Yeah, so that's what they did with Tatis. They had him come out opening day, and it was like, oh, they're using him right away. I think that it just depends of like. I mean, they want to lock up Tatis. I think they will lock up Tatis. But it depends, like, do they just want him to hit the ground running? And a lot of the players get frustrated when they kind of add that extra year of control. I think that it really just depends on where they feel like he's ready. That's the way that the Padres have – I mean, I felt that they've been consistent in that way. So we'll see what they do this time around.
Yes. As far as Tatis, there's some people saying, hey, extend him now. I'm going to give him one more year because, listen, it was a rookie year. He got hurt. He played half a season. Shortened season. If he could give you one more good season, if he can stay healthy, I'm going to match him what Ronald Acuna is getting. Give him a 10-year. I think it's like $150 million or so. Now, granted, anything could happen in 10 years, but if you look at what all these baseball stars are getting, if he does good for 3 years at the caliber that he is, that's about $90 million. That would be about, you know, more than half of what he's getting paid, and everything else is just icing on the cake. That's where I'm at. I think that's beneficial to him, the organization, everybody. And I think that's really it as far as players are concerned. I'm not sure where else you could add because I have no idea what the bank is. Pandemic or no pandemic, I just don't know what the Padres' bottom dollar is because I know they're a smaller market team. I've actually done some research in this, and let me tell you something. The differences are surreal, man.
Yeah, I think that they've kind of moved on from one of those really low market teams. They're kind of in the middle now, maybe middle low.
I think it's medium small.
Medium. Yeah, exactly. But they used to be like ultra small. So it's like it's a big deal to get into that. Like, oh, we have like some money now because now they can actually pay some guys. Yes. I don't know what they're gonna do. Because I just don't know how much money they have. That's the thing.
And correct. I'm not sure what the budget is too. And I've actually been trying to conduct something for a podcast because I thought it was like, what's the difference between big market and small market? Because that's what some people think it is. But if we look at it, right, there's some there where it's like medium, and then there's like five tiers of how much money they have. Like if we go Tampa Bay Rays, they're in the garbage bin. If you go the Red Sox, they're on the rooftop. And then there's like some other teams where I'm not sure where to put Colorado because what are their main sponsors? Coors Beer and Subaru. If you go to, you know, Yankee Stadium, they got a lot. One of them is Budweiser. Could the Padres get a, you know, a big beer in that stadium to promote it? You know, what's bigger than Budweiser or a Bud Light? Are you going to get like Heineken in there or something?
Yeah, I don't know. They've definitely like attacked the food stuff a lot. Maybe that's why they've kind of had some more funds lately. I mean, Petco Park is a really cool stadium. AJ, you've never been there, right?
Unfortunately, I have not, but I actually look at it. It's definitely a big park to play in. Like, it's definitely one of those parks where I think fielding is going to be really tough. Like, that left field is huge, fielding-wise. But overall, I look at the ballpark and I'm thinking to myself, that looks like a cool place to be.
Yeah, no, definitely. I gotta say, man, like being a Padres fan, they're in a lot better spot than they were a few years ago. And I know this year, AJ, this is probably like the first year you followed them at least like somewhat. Yeah.
I mean, there was that time where they had like a couple of teams, but it really just comes down to the other big bully competitions because the Diamondbacks had a couple of years. It's a Dodger division the last decade plus.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a Dodger division still, but the Padres are knocking on the door. Hopefully they get some stuff going. I don't know if you saw.
Hockey stirred up too.
I don't know. I don't.
I think it's a fun division as a whole because if you look at the other divisions, it kind of looks like it kind of looks like a wash. Like if you look at every other division, like the worst one to watch right now is probably the AL West, in my opinion. But then you look at every other division and the NL West is just the most exciting to me.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, you got a lot of good teams. You got a lot of fun players too. The Rockies aren't very good and they have Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman. Just superstar players just say, oh, yeah, no, we have these two like ultra stars, and we're not even that good. But yeah,
they've been trying to perfect it for years, and I have no idea how they're going to do it. The rumor is that he might be shipped off, but I have no idea how true that is. I've been trying to cover a lot, especially the last couple of weeks as far as baseball goes, and I'm wondering why the free agency is so slow right now, because if you look at it, right now it's November 21st, and I got to tell you, the NBA free agency in 24 hours has been more exciting than the baseball free agency. And that's not a knock on MLB. That's a knock on there's a lot of people that just don't know what the heck they're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely true. AJ, I think I got a bounce right now, but I want to say thanks for having me on the show. I want to talk about like what I project for next year once free agency kind of concludes.
So tell you what, how about since we're short on time, how about we post this? We're going to put this as a part one, and me and you are definitely going to mail this into a part two. How's that?
I love that idea.
All right, everybody. This is AJ Torres and Matt Keimer. This is Calling Strikes, courtesy of the Worst Take Network. Follow us on Twitter and all that. So we are going to table this, and we are going to get into a part two. Stay posted. Take it easy, everybody. Good night.